Good morning, everyone, and welcome off track six. I am going to open us up with prayer, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Dear Lord, sometimes it feels like all we do have is Christ, and we please help direct our minds and hearts today as we listen to these talks. Help us to focus on you and know that you are sovereign, despite whatever is going on in our lives or the lives of our counselees. Please direct our thoughts and actions today. Amen. So my name is Dr. Erin Ramirez, and I've been a member of Faith Church since 2012. I'm married with two teenagers at home, and I'm a practicing OBGYN here in town. The teenagers part, I'll tell a quick aside. My daughter knew I was coming to give a talk today, and she said, well, why are you, I thought the counseling session was on the Bible. Why are you going to talk about women's health? I don't understand. And so it was a really good opportunity for me to talk to her about, well, really everything goes back to the Bible, right? And so no matter what we're talking about, it's so helpful for me in practice, too, to have this focus to help my patients or to help your counselees. So thank you for being here. Dr. Wickert recruited me to join his practice here in Lafayette when I was graduating residency. And then he helped point me to Faith Church in the counseling ministry when I needed it shortly after moving here. So I feel like this is kind of a full circle moment for me being here and talking with him today. So this is our talk that's called Help, I Have Endometriosis, and I'm going to start with a case example. So Sarah is a 28-year-old patient, or a counselee in this case, who's always had very heavy periods. She sometimes missed days of school due to cramping and now occasionally has to call off work. She's learned to carry a change of clothes in her car because sometimes she'll bleed through her tampon or her pad onto her pants, but she's kind of gotten used to this because her mom always struggled with heavy periods before she had her hysterectomy, so she kind of just thinks this is normal. But Sarah got married last year, and she's really struggled with sex. She thought it would get better with time, but now she just dreads having sex because of the cramping and deep pain that can last several hours afterwards. She doesn't really feel comfortable telling her new husband about this because she loves him, and so she just kind of keeps trying. A lot of her friends have been getting pregnant recently, and at first, Sarah thought maybe they just weren't getting pregnant because they didn't have sex that often, but now she's been pushing through that, and she's fearful that something else may be wrong. And so, you know, this is kind of points to all of the different components of endometriosis, how that can affect a patient. And so I'm just going to briefly get into the medical aspect of this, and then Dr. Wickert's going to take over and kind of talk more about how to handle this in a counseling session. So medically, we define endometriosis as the presence of endometrial cells, and endometrium is just a fancy word for the inner layer of the uterus. So those cells should only be right in the middle of the uterus, and if they're anywhere else, then that's what we define as endometriosis. And that's most commonly in the pelvis, but they can be other areas as well. And it's a chronic inflammatory process that requires a lifelong treatment plan. So this isn't something that you treat and it goes away. The goal is to manage the patient's pain and limit the number of surgeries for as long as possible. So that endometrial tissue, when it's somewhere else, it leads to inflammation, and that can be associated with painful periods, pain with sex, chronic pain in general, and infertility. It's most common to diagnose in 25 to 35-year-olds, but it can be any time in a woman's reproductive life. And they usually present, as I described, with pelvic or abdominal pain and pressure, heavy periods, or sometimes they have none of those complaints, but they just can't get pregnant. So they're seeing you because they're not able to have a baby. Additional symptoms can include bowel and bladder problems, low back pain, and chronic fatigue. And the most important step in diagnosing this, like most things, is a good history and physical. So you just need to talk to your patient and get all of those, that background story. And then women can be tender on exam, especially at the back of the vagina or around the ovaries. The problem is that the exam can also be totally normal. So if they have a normal exam, that does not tell you that they don't have endometriosis. There's no blood tests for this. Ultrasound or MRI can help. But again, negative imaging does not mean that they don't have it. So the gold standard or the best way to diagnose this is with surgery. And so that should be done on women with severe symptoms or those that don't respond to low-risk treatment, which I'll get to in a few minutes. But it is, in practice, common to just presume a woman has endometriosis based on the symptoms that I described and go ahead and treat them so that you can avoid doing surgery. If a woman does require surgery, it's usually done laparoscopically or with small incisions. And that allows you to get the diagnosis, and it also allows you to treat. And so it's best to have a biopsy or a little piece of that tissue so that the pathologist can tell us, yes, that is indeed what we're looking at. The lesions can look really different. So they can look like little flame or red-colored patches. They can be white or translucent blebs. They can be yellow, brown, or red-blue spots. But we've just kind of learned to recognize all of those in practice when we do surgery. And then you can also see scarring or puckering on surfaces from where these areas bleed. And so that's another sign that a woman has endometriosis. The important thing to remember, though, so we stage endometriosis by how much of it we see and how much scarring we see, but how much you see does not always correlate with how much pain they have. The problem is, the more advanced it is, it does correlate with difficulty getting pregnant. So some of the worst cases of endometriosis I've ever seen are women that come in and they never thought they had painful periods, but now they can't get pregnant. And so those are some of the worst cases. So a definitive surgery would be removing the uterus and maybe the ovaries. But of course, you can't do that if a woman's trying to get pregnant. And so a conservative surgery is more where you just go in and remove those lesions and then try to manage their pain again while they're trying to get pregnant. So the good news is that pregnancy usually improves the symptoms because you're not having periods. So while a woman is pregnant, their symptoms are better. And then they do usually resolve with menopause, which average age is 51. And then lastly, the complications of endometriosis are kind of what I already discussed. So painful periods, first of all, the need for ongoing medication or surgery, and then with surgery, the complications of potentially bowel or bladder injury, bleeding, infection. And then, so another statistic that's a little bit disheartening is that if you do the conservative treatment that I discussed, up to 60% of women are going to require another surgery eventually. Even if you remove the uterus, but you leave their ovaries, 20% of women are going to require another surgery. And so only 8% is the lowest reoperation rate, and that's if you take their ovaries. But that comes with its own problems, as many of you probably know. If you remove a woman's ovaries, especially if they're younger than age 44, that's going to increase their risk of heart disease, osteoporosis, and then, of course, the menopausal symptoms of hot flashes, vaginal dryness, weight gain, fatigue. And then, of course, as I mentioned, another complication of endometriosis is infertility and the emotional strain that goes along with that, and relationship issues if there's pain with sex. I just wanted to briefly mention, I don't want to get too much into the specifics of treatment, but generally, if you're not doing surgery, treatment includes non-steroidal medications, so that's like Motrin, Midol, Pamprin, those types of things just for the cramping. And then a mainstay of treatment is hormonal birth control, just because that can make a woman's periods lighter and less painful. But of course, if they're trying to get pregnant, then you can't use that treatment either. And then complementary therapies can be really helpful. So there's pelvic floor physical therapy that can help, because once a woman has started having pain with sex, now all those muscles get tight with anticipation of pain, right? And so that it's just a vicious cycle. Now they're anticipating pain, and so they're more uncomfortable. And so pelvic floor physical therapy can really help reduce muscle spasms in the pelvis. Acupuncture has been proven to help. And then dietary changes like limiting animal fats, especially red meat, and increasing fruit and vegetables are mildly helpful. So I think that's really all from my part. And we'll kind of talk about the more important part, why we're here today, is now what? What do you do when you have a patient with this? So Dr. Wickert.
Erin, thank you for helping us and talking about this. And we're going to talk through why we did what we did. I also want to mention, before I talk about me for a second, that Erin and I did a chapter in this book called The Christian Counselor's Medical Desk, a Reference. And we did a chapter on premenstrual syndrome, PMS, in kind of the same format that we're doing this. And I would encourage you to think about, I want some more information or something that's written. This is the first time we've ever done a session like this. So you probably will, I can tell you guys have never done this before. And that's okay. That's all right. You have to do it first someplace, right? At some time. But we wrote a chapter in here on PMS, and many of the concepts, we're not going to talk about those from in here, but you'll see similar concepts that we're talking about from a counseling standpoint that can be helpful.